the taxes that you are liable for at the end of the year, and it, your risk to personal assets. So there are four types of businesses with the business formations, and then some of them have sub formations. So there's a sole proprietorship, there's a partnership, there's a limited liability company, and then there's a corporation. And then under the corporation, there's what is known as a C corp, an S corp, a B corp, a closed corporation, and then a nonprofit corporation. So when you first start, the first thing, the most important thing to do is choose your name. So you have to choose the name of your business. And I usually tell my clients to give me three different names so that I can research, just in case somebody has your name already. In the state of New Jersey and in most states, you can't have two businesses operating with the same name or too closely together because it can confuse people. So then after you choose a name and the name is free, you then file with the state. You can file with any state in the United States. You will just, if you live in New Jersey and you file in Delaware, which a lot of people used to file in Delaware, they used to file their LLCs in Delaware because legal requirements and taxes were a lot easier and simpler. Delaware is a state that is very friendly, they're business friendly. So then you file with the state. If you're in New Jersey and you're filing in, say, a state like Delaware, you file as a foreign entity. The most important thing you need to do is have a registered agent in the state of Delaware. So what the registered agent kind of presents is, if somebody wants to sue you, they have to be able to touch you in that state. So they have to be able to hold jurisdiction over you. So in order to hold jurisdiction over you, they have to actually present you with the papers in that state. So therefore, if you're a foreign entity, you have to have a registered agent. You can pay someone, you can, ask a friend, but it's very important to have a registered agent. If you don't, your certificate of formation will be denied. Then you file an employee identification number, which is commonly known as an EIN. You can switch the order. You can file an EIN first, but you have to have an EIN at some point. And that's essentially a social security number for your business so that the IRS can tax you. And then after that, you draft and you sign your organizing documents. When it's an LLC, it's an operating agreement. It's a corporation, it's bylaws. So we're going to discuss the different types of businesses that there are. Just go into a little bit. And so the first one is a sole proprietorship. So sole proprietorship, or a sole prop, as it's commonly known, is a business that only has one single person. So, and the taxes, they pass through once. So you file it, when you file your taxes, you're filing only one set of taxes. It's called a Schedule C. The biggest issue with a sole proprietorship is the risk of liability. So because it's just you yourself, if somebody wants to sue you, they can touch all of your personal assets. But there's no filing fees associated with filing a sole proprietorship. It's very simple. You can start today. There's nothing that you need to do, really. You are a sole proprietor if you want it to be. Then there's partnerships. So there's different types of partnerships, but essentially what a partnership is, a high overview, is it's at least two people. So two people get into a partnership with each other. They file their formation documents with the state. Your taxes are taxed personally. But the problem with a partnership is that you have to do it with somebody that you trust, because anything that they do, any debts that they collect for the business, you are both liable for. You and however many people are in the partnership, but you will be liable for it 100% as if you did it. So it's very important to trust the person who you are in a partnership with. Then there's a limited liability, which is a limited liability company, most commonly known as an LLC. That's something that you probably hear a lot. A lot of companies have LLCs. It's for small businesses generally. It's one or more person. You can have a single member LLC, have a multi-member LLC. The taxes pass through each member, so your tax is if the LLC is paying you. And then the members are not personally liable, so they cannot touch your personal assets as long as you do it right. That's a conversation for your accountant and your lawyer. But for the most part, if somebody sues the LLC, they're just suing the LLC. They're not suing you as a person. Then there's a C corp. A C corp is what we would known as a corporation. So any company that is publicly traded on the stock market is a C corp. Their corporation has a lot of people. It has one. It can be one person, but it generally has a lot of people. They answer to shareholders and stakeholders. They have stocks, and then people generally invest through corporations. So the important part of a corporation is if you want people to invest in your business. For instance, an LLC, somebody can invest in it if somebody wants to personally invest in your business, but a corporation, you can have multiple people investing in it. Most people won't invest in your company unless it's a corporation. You can give out stocks so that people will get dividends from the stocks. And the owners are not liable for things that happen with the corporation, for any debts that the corporation receives. When I say that, it's generally, there are ways that they can pierce the corporate veil. It's very hard to do, but generally owners are not liable. Then there's an S corp. An S corp is like a corporation, but it's much smaller. You can only have, it can be one or more person, but only up to 100 people. They tax you personally, and the owners are not liable. So C corp is good for, and you can trade stocks with the C corp. It's good for people who are smaller, who want to have a corporation, and they don't necessarily want the huge liability of having a huge corp. S corp and the C corp S corp and a B corp are very similar with each other. It's one or more person, but it's a corporate tax as opposed to a personal tax, and the owners are not personally liable. Then there's a nonprofit corporation. A nonprofit corporation is a church, a school. It's for it's healthcare. If you're doing anything scientific, it's a corporation just like a C corp. The benefits of it is that it's tax exempt, so they don't have to pay taxes to the state. But in order to become tax exempt, you have to file a 501c3 and have it approved by the IRS. And the only nonprofit corporation that does not have to actually file with the IRS a 501c is a church. Churches are automatically tax exempt. It's always better to file a 501c C3, but you don't have to. And the owners are not personally liable. So when you're forming a business, it's important to sit down and see what it is you're doing, see what it is how big you want to grow. You can start with any type of business. You can switch it later. Obviously, it comes with fees. In New Jersey, filing every business formation is 100. Everything is 125, except for a nonprofit corporation, which is $75, and a sole proprietorship, which is $0. It's to file for an EIN, it's free, but and then if you want to make any changes later, the state of New Jersey has different filing fees and things like that. So depending on what state you want to file, and it's very important to sit down and talk with an accountant. A lawyer is very integral in filing a business formation, but I think an accountant is even more integral because your taxes are very important, depending on how you get taxed, because if you don't pay the IRS, they are gonna come after you. So you wanna make sure that you sit down with somebody who actually knows what they're talking about, who can go through what it is you wanna do. You need to have a business plan. You need to make sure that everything that you're laying out is exactly what you wanna do so that later on you don't find hiccups. It's also very important for funding purposes, which our brother will talk with us about in a little bit. But you sit down, you think about what it is you want to grow, what it is you want to do, who do you want to touch, how big you want to get become, and that's how you decide what kind of business you want to form. Questions? I know it was quick, but it's more when you ask questions, it kind of comes out more. To understand what it is you're trying to do.
Thank you, Megan. But if you can hold your questions
until after, yes. Sorry.
If you can hold your questions, it'd be nice to sort of take them together after the second speaker.
Praise God. The second segment is going to be broken into three sections. The first one will be to identify the sources of funding business operations. And the second one will be the IRS filing requirements. And then we're going to open it up for questions. Slide number one there is my bio. I think we've seen that. I've been a CPA for more than 22 years in New Jersey. We can go into slide number two, please. I think what the purpose of owning a business is to make money, is to prosper, and to build wealth. And let's see what the scripture says here about building wealth and prosperity. I think you can see there. And there's nothing wrong for you and I to be prosperous if that's the wish of God for us. And says here, number two, that God gave us the power to make wealth. So there's nothing wrong for us to prosper. There's nothing wrong for us to build wealth if that's the wish of God for us. Amen. Also, slide number three. Let's take a look at sources of funding businesses. I think there are four categories here. One is personal savings, and the other one is friends and family members can support you. The other one is use of approved credit cards. And finally, business loans and credit and lines of credit. Let's expand them a little bit. I think the wisest and most conservative here is to start a business is personal savings. I have done it myself. Also, you can access funds from your 401k or your job. It's always better to borrow from yourself. Only better. The interest rates is cheaper to borrow from yourself. And also, you can also access funds from equity of your property. And the good part of that is that the interest on equity line of credit is tax deductible. And finally, you can also access funds from life insurance policies. These are areas where you can borrow from yourself. Amen. Let's move on to the second part of funding, friends and family members. Next slide, please. Next slide. Okay. Your friends and family members. There are four categories here. I don't know if anyone here remember who is Ross Perot is. Ross Perot began his business with $1,000 borrowing from his wife. And my wife teases me all the time when I said, they want $1,000, I give you $1,000. Okay, also, both Ross Perot and Michael Dell, they all began their businesses with $1,000 gift from their family members, and they are all multi-billionaires today. Number two, both Reddington, Hallett and David Packard also began their businesses with $538. Just as our senior pastor once said, the most important thing in beginning a business is vision. Not money. Once you have the right vision, money will follow. Amen? Amen. And also, number three, you can also ask friends and family members to make equity investments in your new venture. And finally, you can also ask friends family members to become passive partners to invest capital in your business. Let's take a look at use of approved credit cards. Some of you here have approved credit cards of 10,000 or 5,000 in your wallet there. It's a big source of funding. You can use this method here to buy office equipment and office supplies. You can also use it to pay for your suppliers. You know, you can also use cash advances on your credit card. So these are all sources of funding for your business. Let's take a look at the final one there is loans. My advice to you here is, if you can only borrow money if it's extremely, extremely, extremely important. The cost of borrowing is very expensive. Mostly when you did not know if the business is going to make money or not. If you don't have a good prospect of cash flow, it's very difficult to borrow money. But that would be my advice for you. Borrowing money will be as a last resort. And the bank gives you a steady amount of money that is repaid over a period of time. And a lot of credit provides a revolving facility here that can be used when needed, like a credit card. And in most cases, the bank will require a good business plan before it can lend the money. If the bank does not see a good cash flow, a prospect of getting their money back, it will be rough for them to give you money. Amen? And that is one thing difficult about borrowing. Also, I think in Proverbs, the scripture says, Proverbs 22, verse 7, that a borrower is a slave to the lender. It's true. If you, my advice for you, don't borrow what you cannot afford to pay back. Amen? I think the lawyer has covered this area. I don't want to waste time on these categories of businesses. Whatever business you intend to enter must fall into these five categories. S-Corp, you know, our sister has touched on that area, the C-Corporation, and LLC partnership, and less corporations, and sole proprietorship. On the last one there, you can begin a business with your name and your social security number, and if you don't want to incorporate, but as you said before, it's very risky. You know, we live in a country, you know, where people can sue you, you know, for anything. So try to isolate yourself from your business. Amen? Next slide. Okay, let's talk about the tax filing requirements for different corporations. The S-Corp. The S-Corp, okay. No. I go back, please. The S-Corp, okay. Okay. The S-Corp uses Form 1120 to file their tax returns. And they can also, if their tax year ending end by December 31st, they must file by 15th of April. If their calendar year ends at June, that year they must file by 15th of September. And if they can file for a 6 months extension up to October 15th, and if their tax year ends June 30th, they can file for 6 months extension as well with Form 1120 POL. That's the file, the extension for S-Corp. Let's go to C-Corp. Next slide. S-Corp. S-Corp. Okay. The S-Corps with a calendar year ending 31st must file by March 15th. If they have the June 30th ending, they must file by September 15th. And they can also file for 6 months extension. Use IRS form 7004. Next slide. Okay, partnerships. Partnerships file their IRS taxes with 1065. They file what we call information returns. They don't pay taxes. The income, the profit flow to their owners, and their owners will declare the incomes in their 1040. They also can file for extension if they end by December 31st, they can file for extension also. If they end by June 30th, they can also file for extension, filing by up to September 15th, using IRS form 7004. Next slide. LLCs. LLCs, corporations, calendar year ending 31st must file by April 15th. They are just like individuals. And if their tax year ends June, they must file by October 15th. And they could as well file for 6 months extension if they want to, using form 4868. Next slide. Oh, sole proprietors. Sole proprietors are like individuals.
Yep.
They use a 1040 and they use a Schedule C to declare their incomes and losses. And they must file by due date of April 15th. And they can also file for extension, 6 month extension, using form 4868. Okay, let's talk a little bit about tax-exempt organization. They use tax-exempt under 501c use form 990 to file their returns. And their returns are due by May 15th. And if their ending year is June 30th, they must file by November 15th. And they can also file for 6 months extension using IRS form 8868. Okay, next slide. Employers filing requirements. If you have employees working for you, you are required to give them W-2s by January 31st. Okay, that's the regulation. And if your ending year is June 30th, you're required to do that by July 31st. And if you have contractors working for you, you have to give them 1099 at the end of the year. That's 1 month after the end of the year. All right, let's talk about due dates for estimated taxes due. Activities from January to March must be filed with IRS by April 15th. Activities from April to May must be filed by June 15th. June to August is due September 15th. September to December is due January 15th, the following year. All right. Let's get next slide. Let's talk about the penalties. There's a saying here in America, there are two things you can't avoid. Debt and what? Taxes. Even though you have a beloved uncle, Uncle Sam goes after you if you fail to file your taxes. I have a client one time that told me that you never file tax for 10 years, and it was only when his uncle knocked at his door that he was looking after me. Praise the Lord! So don't wait for your uncle to knock at your door. Amen. So there are varieties of penalties here that the IRS charges for late filings and failure to file. The most important one that most of us don't know here, that's the next slide. Here, in 2015, Obama signed into law a new IRS code that took effect last year. And most of all, don't know this. The State Department can refuse to issue you visa, can refuse to issue your passport for failure to file your taxes. When the IRS knows that you are a tax deadbeat, they can report you to State Department, and they will not issue you passport. This is so. Be very, very careful. Don't take this for granted. The law is on their side. The IRS can spend $1 million chasing for $5. You ask them why. They say, we are obeying the law by Congress. So be very careful here. This is a very serious penalty. Very, very serious. Most people don't know this. It's a shocker. It took effect last year. So be very careful. Even if you think you are going to owe money, you can pay them instrumentally. It's better than just, take it for granted and maybe want to travel and go to a passport office. Also, if you travel to the airport, the airlines always wipe your passport. Two things. One, they want to make sure the passport is valid. Two, they want to make sure that system is get to IRS. They can stop you from traveling. So be very, very careful. This is, yeah, Uncle Sam is serious. Even though he's your uncle, it's very, very serious. Praise the Lord. Amen. So I'm going to leave it open now for questions, if anybody has anything. Also, please, next slide. Yeah, next slide in case. Next slide. Okay, I think I can be reached here on the phone, or you can, you know, email me or visit our website. If there's any help you think we can give you, please feel free. Amen.
Thank you very much. A round of applause for the speakers, please. So now the floor is open for questions. If you can walk up to the microphone here, please introduce yourself and you can ask any question. Or if you have a loud enough voice, you can ask the microphone, please, so we can record them.